The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Using Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, from the New Living Translation, this is our scripture. Fear the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have graciously preserved through the ages that we might have it in this room today. And Father, we open ourselves up to hear your voice speaking to us. You said that we would hear your voice and another we would not follow. So Father, we listen to your voice. Father, I pray that the things that I've prepared that are of you, that I'll be able to speak them in such a way to impact the lives of those who are hearing this sermon this morning. Father, if there's anything I've prepared that's not of you, let it be ashes and dust under our feet that we might walk by, so that everything that's said and done in this place will be orchestrated, planned, and delivered by you. And all the people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I see our sound guy is not in the sound booth, and I need him back there to kill the lights because we have a video we're going to show right now.
Hey, Mom.
Mom.
Mom?
I'll be concerned with what my friends think of me.
I'll need you to teach me that I only need God's approval.
I'll want what I want when I want it.
I'll need you to teach me to be a servant so I can love others. I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am. I'll need you to show me how to learn from God's wisdom. I'll act like I don't have any problems.
I need you to show me how to share my struggles with others.
I'll tend to think about myself before others. I'll need you to teach me that the last will become first.
I'll have many reasons to hold grudges.
I'll need you to model forgiveness
so I can learn to show grace.
I'll want to have a lot of money so I can buy what I want.
I'll need you to teach me that my things belong to God.
I'll struggle with my looks and appearance. I'll need you to remind me that God wonderfully made me.
I'll need you, Mom.
To point me toward Christ.
When no one else will.
Is that a powerful video or what? I need you, Mom. Jim actually sent me that video about a week or so ago, and when I saw it, I just thought it was just a great message, and I told him we'd like to show that today and that I would build a sermon around it, and that's where the sermon title comes from, I Need You, Mom. More times than I can count, the Bible admonishes us to obey, to follow, to honor, and care for our moms. I looked just briefly using my computer, and there were just literally hundreds of references to do this. Well, you know, somebody very wise said, if God says something once, that's enough. If he says it twice, you ought to pay attention. If he says it several hundred times, it's a hammer hitting you on the head. You know, in other words, pay attention. From the cradle to the grave, a main source of instructions in life we receive from our mothers. I want to read you something that I discovered, and I don't know who this lady is. Her name is Margaret Knight, N-A-D-A-U-L-D, Naduld, I guess it is. But here's what she said. Women of God can never be like women of the world. I want to repeat that. Women of God can never be like women of the world. The world has enough women who are tough. We need women who are tender. There are enough women who are coarse. We need women who are kind. There are enough women who are rude. We need women who are refined. We have enough women of fame and fortune. We need more women of faith. We have enough greed. We need more godliness. We have enough vanity. We need more virtue. We have enough popularity. We need more purity. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that is just really inspired when that woman wrote that. We need a change in motherhood because children need their moms. I've lived long enough on the earth to see a complete, almost complete deterioration of motherhood, which was once the greatest pinnacle that a woman could aspire to as motherhood, has become a real tragedy in our world. Our mothers have abandoned their children for the lure of this world. They need a change in motherhood. Mothers have abandoned their children for fortune, for fame, and even, in many cases, for fathers. The demands that have been made on women have just stripped away all of their great power, and that great power is in motherhood. You know, it's amazing to me that those who 25 and 30 years ago were standing on their stump and screaming for women's rights, and women need rights, I'm not opposed to that, but to encourage them to abandon the home, to go into the marketplace, that they could be somebody, they could be successful, to not have children, to earn and walk and climb the corporate ladder, those same people have changed their mind. In fact, those who said that men weren't good for anything have even changed their mind and married, which is incredible. Found out those guys are good for something, all right? And women who delayed motherhood past their prime are spending literal fortunes trying to get pregnant to have children. You know why? Because they were wrong 30 years ago and 40 years ago, and they're wrong today. Motherhood is important. Much of what is wrong with our children today can be directly pointed at the lack of mothering by mothers in our society. Amen. We need dads, but that's another sermon for another time. Mothers need a change of direction back to their children and back to their home. Ladies, the most important job is not to be a CEO of a major Fortune 500 company. The most important job is to be a mom. Now, some would say, oh, well, you don't have much value for women. I have the greatest value for women. I love women. I've loved women since I found out what they were with my dear mom. You know, I love women. I don't understand women, but I love them. All right? I don't understand electricity, but I love it. All right? And I know you better treat it right or it'll sting you if you plug the wrong thing in the wall. I remember when I was a little boy, I had a little boat, had a little electric motor on it. Boy, it was so cute, it kind of looked like my daddy's boat, and I was so proud of it. And I decided one day, if it ran so well off of that little battery, what would it do if I plugged it in the wall? And I did. I discovered it had a bite that I had never felt before. It knocked me down, burned up my little motor, and got my little rear end banged by my mama for having done such a stupid thing. So I have great respect for electricity, all right? And it's the same way with women and moms. They need to be treated well. Need to be created by God for a certain form and function in our world. Now, for some of you, that hurts your feelings. You know, we've got such a I want to be what I want to be mentality. Listen, God created family. That's the first thing He did. Adam and Eve, He created family, and He told them what to do, to be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, be fruitful and multiply and let the little boogers run off on their own. You know, there's some things that we need to do in order to make sure the little boogers turn out right. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do, and that's a responsibility of moms and dads to do that. So today I want us to look at the reasons why children need their mom. And the first thing is to let them know about God. Let's go back and look at our passage of Scripture a little bit more in detail. Fear of the Lord is a foundation. Everybody say foundation. You know what the foundation is? That's what you build on. So a relationship with God, fear of the Lord, and understanding the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. The best place to learn about God is at mother's knee. The best place to learn about God is at mother's knee. And moms need to bend their knees to God. We need praying, believing mothers. Those who trust God. Those whose primary focus is their relationship with the Lord. We had some good words spoken by the Lord here this morning about drawing close to Him, of having a relationship with Him. You know, one of the things that they teach you in business or they teach you in any motivational seminars you go to is setting priorities. And I know that what I'm about to say, you're going to say, "Oh, gee, Pastor, we knew that. Let's get on to some meat. Don't give us any, baby stuff." But the thing that they teach in priorities is your number one priority is what you will accomplish. You've got the greatest opportunity and percentage of accomplishing is your number one priority. And your number one priority needs to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't get that right, believe me, friend, the rest of your list is nothing. Nothing. It's wasted. Something I've discovered about life. Just because you're biologically capable of producing children will not make you a good mother or a good father. It won't do it. It takes more than that. Just because you're old enough to get married doesn't make you a good husband or a good wife. Just because you've been born into this world won't make you a good child. There's something that we need, and that something is our relationship with God. Say, "Well, Pastor, you're pretty close-minded about that." I am. I am guilty. You know why? Because I've discovered what works. You know, one of the nice things about being as old as I am, you discover what works and doesn't work. You know, you get to see it first, as they say, up close and personal. Pat and I have spent enough time talking to enough people who have had their lives shattered and broken, and we've discovered that the main reason most people end up in trouble in life is they've forgotten their number one priority. And mothers, we need you to be godly women above all of the things. Because we know if you're a godly woman, the rest of your priority list will come into divine order. And you'll do the right things. It's just vital for you as an individual, for your individual families, for our nation, and for our world. Just look around, folks. Just think about what our world looks like today and what's going on, and you'll discover that the biggest problem is that we don't want to be one nation under God anymore. We want to be one nation under ourselves. And look at the mess we've made. Is God the cure for everything? You bet He is. You bet He is. Can you live without God? I don't think so. You can have a train wreck without God in your life, but if you're going to have God's plan manifest and unfold in your life, it's going to have to be done because God is your number one priority. We need mothers who will do that. Children left by moms to learn about God on their own will have raised heathens. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. You know what? Because statistically, the probability of someone coming to God happens from the age of reason, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, to teenage years. And once that, the probability of someone coming to the Lord is almost impossible. By that I mean the percentage is down like about 5%. Right? Isn't that scary? I've told you that before a couple of times. But that is a scary statistic. So that tells me that what moms do has the greatest impact on children coming to know God. Children who are left alone to raise themselves will be unable to praise and worship God. You know what? They won't know how. You know what I love to see? I love to see mamas bring their children to church from the time they're in cradle size and start to grow. And I love it when those little kids start getting involved in the worship. That's why we have the kids in here doing worship and we only let them go afterwards because I want kids to learn how to worship the Lord. I love to see them little hands go up, you know, and praising the Lord. You know, see the little kids wanting to dance. Every once in a while, some of the kids say, can I dance up there? Yeah, come on up here and dance, you know. Twirl, jump, do a backflip, do whatever. You know, I love to see children. But you know, they're learning that in their homes. They're learning it by watching mom and dad. Children will do what mom and dad will do. I remember when I was coming up as a little boy, my mom and dad used to take me to a mainline denominational church. And I used to be there with my cousin Gail. Gail was the closest thing I had to a sister. I was an only child, and Gail and I were about the same age, and we grew up together. And we would go to church. And I remember the fun part about going to church with Gail was they had a little store right across the street from the church, and we'd go over there and get a big old jawbreaker, and we'd sit there, got the jawbreaker, just listening. We didn't know what that preacher was saying, but we were in church. But you know, my mom and dad got too smart for church. And they decided they didn't want to go to church anymore, and they stopped going. And they used to send me to church to go to Sunday school, and me and Gail would, you know, go there. But you know, it wasn't as much fun because Mom and Dad weren't there. And I can remember the day that I told my mother and daddy were getting ready for me to go to church. And I said these words, as only a kid could say them. I said, you know, you're not going to church anymore. I don't think I need to go to church. And I refused to go to church. And I wouldn't go to church anymore. I ended up going to another church when I got a little bit older because my little neighbor boy, he went to a church, and I used to like playing with him, and he went to church, and so I went to church with him. But you see, when Mom and Dad were leading the way, I was following. And when Mom and Dad went the wrong way, I followed that too. You know, the good news is that history has proven that I came to the Lord and got to lead them to the Lord when they were in their 60s, and they're both on the streets of gold today, all right? So, but kids, left to their own, will build a church that looks like their own selfish ambitions and desires.
Your mother and daddy did go back to church eventually. It made it sound like they never went back.
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell the whole story. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, I don't want to make it look bad. They had great parents. All right. They will design what they think a church should look like. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to grow up on it. They need to hear it all the time. You know, one of the things that Rick Warren with the Purpose Driven Life book said, as we did a 40 Days of Purpose seminar here many years ago, and he said, you can't over-communicate. You can't tell children enough about God. You can't tell them enough about what life is like in the church. You can't tell them enough how important church is. Church is very important. You need to be in church. When the doors are open in church, you ought to be there. Well, the way I put it best, Jesus saves your soul, the church saves your life. And it'll save the life of your children to be in the right kind of fellowship within church. But left to their own, they will design a church based on their own selfish ambitions. They will have no foundation and will believe any lie. No foundation. They'll have a foundation, all right, but it'll be quicksand under their feet. And they'll believe just about anything. Do you know one of the startling things that's happening in our society today? Is when they do statistical counts of people who are believers, who claim to be have a relationship with God, the biggest percentage of our society today that doesn't believe in God, you know what age group they are? They're under 20 years of age. What does that tell you? Tell you mama and daddy haven't done their job. Now some of you say, well, it's the church's job. The church needs to tell my kids about God. No, indeed. It's the church's job to help support you take care of your kids. It's my job to help you and support you that your kids learn what they need to learn. But it's not the church's job. If you're depending on the kids to know about God, what they learn here, they're not going to get it. Because they learn by example from mom and dad. The foundations of all values are found in the knowledge of God. That's the foundation. That's the bedrock. It's where they learn about good and bad behavior. They learn what's right from mom and dad. The value system of a child is from the mother's knee. She gives instructions. I like that passage of Scripture. In fact, go back to it, Jim. I'll flip back on that for just a minute. Because I want you to notice something. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of all true knowledge, but fools despise it. My child, listen when your father corrects you. I need a correction of a dad, but I think it's very interesting. It says, don't neglect your mother's instructions. You know, I always learn more from my mom than I did from my dad. I don't know why. It's just that we're moms, I guess, are more loving and caring and nurturing, and we'll kind of listen to them. What I had most of about my dad is he taught me things that meant things that I needed to know, but all the little nuances of life I really picked up from mom. In fact, many times I chide myself because I'm just like my mom. And if I picked up a good and a bad habits along the way. You know, she had the worst diet in the world, and I have the worst diet in the world. She liked to eat sweets, I like to eat sweets. She didn't like vegetables, I don't like vegetables. My dad didn't like sweets, and he loved vegetables. I don't eat like my dad. My dad was healthier than my mom. But we learn from our mom. We learn about good behavior, and we learn about bad behavior. We learn what's right and what's wrong. We have the ability from that foundation is to recognize truth. One of the things that happens to our children today is they get placed in these ungodly schools. And I'm about to give you something that's just my opinion, so you don't have to follow my opinion. But for me, growing up in society today, I wouldn't send my kids to the public school system. The things that they are being taught, being stripped of good values. We have people who wouldn't know God from a fence post teaching your children day in and day out. And one of the problems with school, it's good and it's bad, is that children look to the authority figure and they believe the authority figure. If they're right about science, they'll be right about other things. And they pick up those bad values. They say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if I could do something else. Well, maybe you need to think about it. Put them in a good Christian school. And, well, I can't afford that. Well, you'd be surprised you can afford. That's what Pat and I did. We weren't smart enough to homeschool them. At least we didn't feel we were. And we put her in a Christian school. And that was one of the best decisions we ever made. In fact, it wasn't too many years ago, and she's a young woman now, and she said to us, thank you for putting me in that Christian school. She said, I don't know what trouble you saved me from in life by being in that closed environment, learning about good things. They were supporting what mom and dad were teaching at home. They will build family ties based on what they learn at home. One of the things that's wrong with young people today is they don't even know what a good family looks like because it's so dysfunctional. You know how many, I don't know the statistic, but there's an enormous number of children who are being raised in a single-parent home. Now, some of them, it was just a tragedy of life and death, but most of the time, it's due to the tragedy of premarital sex, and it's a tragedy of divorce. By the way, while I'm talking about that subject, folks say, well, you know, mom and dad don't get along. And it'd be better for babies to grow up in a peaceful house. And it would be better for them and for the children if mom and dad just separated and went their separate ways. That's what people think. In fact, people wrote books about that to say that's the right way. You know, we've discovered, but with hindsight, looking back at the history of it, that's not true. It's not true. In fact, it does more damage to kids. Kids are better off living in a house with mom and dad screaming at each other than living in a house without mom and dad there. Now, that's a terrible, terrible thing to tell you that that's a better environment. That's just the truth of it. Because you know what happens when the parents get divorced? Kids believe it's their fault. And it affects them all their lives. Some of you in this room may be products of that, and you know what I'm talking about. Some of you may be into divorce, and you know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you what, friends. The best environment is a godly mom and a godly dad with serving God and raising up godly children and staying together until death do us part. That's the best thing. Unfortunately, we've shattered our golden vases of life And we've tried to put the pieces back together, and we've got cracks in our vase that we put together, and we've got little pieces missing, but that's what we've done. So we just make the best of what we got. I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation, but I'm telling you what the best way is. That's what it ought to be. If you're married and you have children, stay married and raise those kids. They didn't ask to be brought into this world, but they're here and they're your responsibility. You take care of them. And by the way, I know our congregation's a little bit more mature maybe than some other congregations. It's most of you here are grandma and grandpa. If mom and dad aren't doing the job, it's about time grandma and grandpa get involved in the lives of those children. If mom and dad aren't bringing them to church, grandma and grandpa, get those kids and bring them to church. You spend time with them. You read Bible stories to them. You get involved in their lives. He said, well, my kids don't like it. Well, let your kids suck pickles. And do something about it. If you're waiting for your hard-headed kids to finally see the light and take them to church, you're going to be waiting forever. Get involved. Well, what if my kids get mad? Just let them get mad. Do what you can. If you got to sneak around and read them the Bible when they're not looking, read them the Bible when they're not looking. I'm telling you, if it doesn't happen in the home with mother and dad, and if grandma and grandpa can't make an impact, they will not find the truth. The probability of them coming to God is so minuscule that it's almost off the charts. I didn't make this up, friends. I'm just telling you the facts. Don't believe me. Go read some information about this and you'll find out how right I am. I'm making it sweeter than it is. We need to do it. We need to be involved. Children will build their family just like their mom and dad. That's the kind of family they'll build. Godly roots produce godly fruits. You want your kids to come up praising God and serving God, knowing right from wrong, and being somebody in the kingdom of God? It starts at home. It's in the home. Moms, I can't tell you how important you are. You are so valuable to these children. The quiet times, the tenderness of a mom who holds a little baby from the time they're nursing till they're growing up in life, and have that intimate conversation that only moms can have with children. It impacts their lives. You know, most of you know, Tiffany, my daughter, adopted a little baby, and it's the greatest baby in the world. I'm sorry, you don't have the greatest baby in the world. We've got the greatest grandchild in the world. But they discovered a series of teachings that they teach children how to read. This is crazy. I wouldn't have believed it. What is it? Teaching children how to read from the time they're 3 months old. They got videos that they show you. It's based on little kids and it's through repetition. And it's really nice. It's production, the way they've done it. And it teaches the kids like words like tiger and dog. Things like hands up and hands down. And it's scientifically put together. It helps them to read. And kids who have been through this read at a much earlier stage in life and do much better in school. So it's very interesting. But children learn, and what was the percentage, Patrick, from the time they five up to the age five? Do you remember?
Yes, 90% of the brain is developed between the age of 3 months and 4 years old.
90% of the brain is developed from 3 months to 4 years old. The development of the brain. That's an incredible piece of information. Oh, there they are. I didn't know we were going to be up on the screen. There she is. Isn't she cute? Hello, baby. Somebody listening on the CD here on the internet said, what is he doing over there? I'm looking at pictures of my grandbaby is what it is. And that's the day she was adopted in the courts of the over there in Florida. So, it's what mothers can impact children. At such an early stage. That's why it's so important. Don't get mad at me now. It's so important to be a stay-at-home mom. It's important for you to be there for that child. One of the biggest mistakes Pat and I made is that when Tiffany was a little baby, we were working parents. Now, we didn't have to because of finances. We could have gotten by. But I remember when, and Pat probably can remember the day, when she had to bring a little Tiffany and bring it to a lady who kept about five or six children and leave her there. And that child, we would come home after work and pick her up and bring her home. But all the good little training during those very formative years, she got from this woman who took care of her. Her name was Irma. And in fact, Irma got to see her take her first steps. And she called her mother, Mama, before she called Pat Mama. See? Gave up something because we were chasing the world instead of doing what we should have done. God redeemed that, and thank goodness he redeemed it. But that was such an important place to be. The best models are not on the runway, but they're in the kitchen. They're in the kitchen. They're there at home. You know one thing about kids? They think their mothers are beautiful. And your mothers sometimes don't think, you know, well, you know, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too gray, I'm too not gray enough, I got too many wrinkles on my face and not enough wrinkles, whatever. But mamas are loved by their children when they're brought up by their children, and they know them. And mothers, you are loved by your kids. They don't care how much money you got. They don't care what kind of home you live in, whether it's a big house or a little house. All they care about is they're at home with mom and dad. We think they need more stuff. We think they need better cars. Man, we grew up poor, but I grew up right. We didn't have finances. We didn't have a fancy home. We didn't have air conditioning. You can believe that. That's how old I am. We survived without air conditioning. We survived without electronic toys. We survived because it was a house filled with love. And mom and dad were always there. Instructions about God is not the job of our government. God forbid that our government teach our children. That's exactly what our government is trying to do. And that's another sermon for another time about our need to get involved in our governmental system. They're not going to learn by, they're not the job of our society. I don't want society raising my kids, and you shouldn't want society raising your kids. You need is mamas and dads who are taking care of their job. And it's not the job of the church to raise your children, to teach them about God, as I said earlier. Okay, number two. Why do children need their moms? To help them grow in life. And let's look at a passage of Scripture, verse 8 again. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. The oldest saying, this old saying is still true. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. If you want to be an impact player in our world, you just start rocking that cradle. You start telling that child what's right and wrong. You start explaining God. You start letting them grow under your nurture and under your admonition. While I'm here, I just want to do one parenthetical thing. The first place that we need to let children grow is in the womb. And we need to stop this abomination that's in our nation of abortion. It needs to end. We need to be in prayer right now. They're talking about President Obama appointing maybe two, maybe three Supreme Court justices. They have the power to overturn Roe v. Wade and make a change in the abortion laws of our country. And we need to pray about that, that we'll get the right men and women on that Supreme Court. That's an important issue for us, so we need to pray about that. And as you well know, our president is pro-choice, and I am absolutely 100% opposed to that. I don't care about his fiscal policies. Well, I shouldn't say I don't care, but I'm aware of it. But he can mess up the whole economy if he wants, so long as he saves the babies in the womb. And we need to do our part to make sure that young women and young men know that those children are important in the womb. There's a guy that I know who's a minister right now, and his young daughter is pregnant out of wedlock. And they're going through the traumas of that. And that would be a real trauma for a minister to go through that kind of thing. But they recognize the sanctity of life, and abortion's not on the table. And we need to make sure that we understand that abortion is never an option. There's a video that I gave to Jim to look at. It's by a lady, I can't think of her name right now, but she talks about how she was the product of rape, forcible rape, and that her mother would have had an abortion if she could have had an abortion, but she didn't because it was illegal to do it. And she's never met her mom, and she certainly doesn't know her dad. And she said, "But I thank God that I'm alive." And this woman is a minister who ministers to young boys and girls about sexual purity all over the United States of America and the world, for all I know. And somebody would have aborted her because she was a product of rape. Don't believe all this junk that you hear about exceptions for abortion. The only acceptable abortion would be to save the life of a mother. And that's a different story. When someone's dying, and we choose in that case. But other than that, forget about it. So, well, that's pretty hard things to say. Well, I'll tell you what. Life is valuable. Thank God that you weren't aborted. Amen. Thank God that you weren't aborted. First of all, we need to let children grow in the womb. And then children need to learn as they will in every stage of life. And as moms grow in every stage of life. Now here's the nice thing about life. Young parents, all they know is what their age bracket will let them know. Don't get mad at me, but if you're under 30, you ain't got it figured out yet. It takes some time to learn about life and things, all right? But your children don't know much either. So you're one step ahead of them, all right? And you can train them and teach them things. But as they grow, you grow in life too. And you train them in each stage of life. When you get to be in your 40s, you'll have learned more about life that will help you raise your children. Now, honor the ages of your children in every stage. When they're in diapers, you know what kids need in diapers besides clean diapers? They need all the love and attention they can get. They need to be hugged and cuddled and spoiled, rotten. Especially that's what grandparents are for, by the way. To spoil them rotten, that's our job. You get when I'm a little bit, you spoil it rotten. It doesn't matter. He's giving their parents. They'll have to straighten out what you messed up. That's all right. But they need that when they're little. You know, the children who don't get the amount, the number of hugs and kisses and affection that they need when they're infants, it distorts their entire lives. That's scientific fact. I didn't make that up out of the Bible. That's scientific fact. They need all the hugs that they can get. And when they're in diapers, they need to be trained appropriately at that age. When they get to be toddlers, they need lots of instruction. You need to mirror back to them the word that they learned. And the word is no. Don't do that. Don't touch that. That's not good for you. I remember distinctly my mother was trying to teach me when I was just a little toddler not to touch the hot stove. I must have heard it say a million times, "Don't touch that stove, Morris. Don't touch that stove, Morris." So one day when she wasn't there, I decided to touch that stove. Yikes, that hurt. I can still remember it. It was hot. I learned it was a time of instruction. That's what parents are for, to teach you how to do right things and how to do wrong things. I was telling the new attendees class today that Rick Warren's church in Saddleback Valley, California, they do things to try to outreach, and they had a class on for moms. They put it in the newspaper and advertise it on how to potty train your children. Just finding something to do to help young parents, and they use it as an outreach for their church. But it's a time of learning. That's what moms and dads are supposed to do. And you got to have a lot of patience to teach a little toddler. But that's where you're building the foundation in their lives. When they get to be youngsters, they get a little older, past the toddler stage, you need to let them try and you need to let them fail. Mothers, it's okay for your children to fail. One of the things I hate, now this is just my opinion again, all right? One of the things I hate to see kids, youngsters riding bikes, look like they're going to war. They got helmets on and elbow pads and knee pads, and they ride those bikes like, oh, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. Let them fall off the bike. It's okay to skin your knees. It's okay to bust your elbows. It's okay to grow up and say, oh, geez, I got the score here. That's when the bike chain got me right here and hurt me, you know. You know, we used to do it. Of course, I was old enough to do it with our bikes. The object was to not make them look pretty, was to make them go fast. Take the fenders off. Take the chain guards off. Take everything off. You know, get that baby streamlined. It didn't matter if you ran through the rain and you had mud all the way up your front and all the way up your back, you know, from riding a bike in the streets. It was okay. It didn't bother us a bit. Need to let children learn how to fail. One of the things that I hate that we do in our society, we'll have a little toddler, a little youngster ball game, football game, or a soccer game, and they have winners and losers, and everybody gets a trophy. That's humbug. You lose, you don't get a trophy. You need to learn what life is like. You don't win all the time. One of the things that businesses are having problems with hiring new young people is they don't know what it's like to fail. They think they're supposed to get a raise just because they show up. They think that everything should be hunky-dory because they're there. Because that's what they've learned. That life is peaches and cream. They got there from their moms and dads and they got it from society. Life is hard. And your children need to learn that. They're not. It doesn't always work out the way you want it to work out. And if you don't train up a child to learn that, they're going to have unrealistic expectations in life. When they do something wrong, they get their rear quarter spanked. That's when God created the gluteus maximus. Not to sit on in church, to be used by parents. That's what it's for. They need that occasionally. It's part of the training. They need to find out when they do something wrong, they get punished for it. And moms and dads, when you punish your kids, stick to it and make the punishment realistic for whatever it is. Don't tell your kids, if you do that again, you're not going out of the house for a whole year. Well, you're not going to find, it's not going to do that. You say, you're not going to get any dinner tonight. You let them go to bed hungry. They won't starve to death. You don't sneak in later and give them a cookie. You let them learn what it's like because you're serious about it. I heard a story about a lady who really believed in this. And when she said something, she was going to do it. And she lived in a two-story home. And she had told her son, you clean your house, your room, you keep it clean. And she walked in there one day and the room was a wreck. And she said, you get this thing clean. I'm coming back in 5 minutes and I clean up, throwing you out the window. And she walked off. And she said, so she came back and sure enough, the room wasn't clean. She picked him up and threw him out the window. Fortunately, it was in the wintertime up north. It was a snowbank. He only fell about 2 feet. But she said it and she did it. Children need to know that they can depend on you as parents to tell them the truth and mean what you say. If the answer is no, it's no today, tomorrow, and forever. And if it's yes today, tomorrow, and forever. And if you say, when your daddy gets home, you're in trouble, make sure you tell dad. You say, get in there. So, well, I just got home from work and I'm tired. I don't feel like fooling with the kids. You get in there and discipline that child. I promise to you, you'll take care of it. Children need the fences of life constructed by moms and dads so that they can grow up straight and strong. When they get to be teenagers, they need lots of prayer. And so do you. My favorite story for teenagers is from Dr. Dobson. And he said, when kids get to be teenagers, you get a big old barrel and you put them in the barrel. You seal up the top. And you cut a hole in the side. And you feed them through that hole. And he said, when they get to be 16, you seal up the hole. Raising teenagers. You know, I used to do a lot of, teaching. And before Tiffany got to the teenage years, I used to teach about children and how to be raised. I knew everything there was about teenage kids and how to raise them. Tiffany got to be a teenager. I learned I didn't know nothing about raising kids. You know, that's an experience all its own. That's why you need prayer. And you need the Holy Ghost to rat on them when they do stuff they're not supposed to do. Hi, kids. Hey, you need lots of books. Gary Smalley is a good teacher. But needed to learn. But children need to grow through their teenage years. Is it going to be rough? You bet it's rough. because they're learning, they're growing, they're getting, they're trying to implement all the things that they learned through all of their life. And one of the most difficult things to do as a parent is to let go of your children. Moms, you need to learn as a time to cut those apron strings and let those kids grow. I remember we were having trouble with Tiffany, and I had some good friends who had had kids who were older than Tiffany, and so they were about 2 years ahead of us, so they had a lot more experience than we had about kids. And we were going through a difficult time, and this guy said to me, he said, Morris, you've been telling her what to do and how to do it since she was in diapers. She's not in diapers anymore. It's time to let her make her own decision. But, he said, no buts, it's time to let her make her own decision. And that was wisdom. We took that to heart. We took that to heart. Comes a time when children need to learn how to make decisions, and you pray for them. You have to trust God at that stage in their life. And when they become young adults, they need freedom and they need your support. It's time to let them go. You know, you've all seen, you've looked at enough television and Animal Planet. It comes a time when, what do the mama birds do with their babies? Bam! Learn to fly, baby. Get out of here. What do the mama bears finally do with them cute little cubs? There ain't no more milk here. You know, go get your own food because you're not getting it from me anymore. They learn. It comes a time where children need to go up and be the young adults that God always intended them to be. If you don't do that, you are going to be involved in raising retarded children. They need to go. They need to be on their own. Children will grow without you, but they'll glow when they're trained. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that they should go. Train him up in the way that they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's our responsibility to let the kids grow. And let them grow up. Worst thing in the world is to see kids who never grow up. The last thing I want to talk to you about this morning is to let them go when it's time. To let them go when it's time. And again, the last verse 9, what you learn from them, this is talking to the kids now, what you learn from them, mom and dad, will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful statement? What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. There comes a time to let your children go to build their own nest. They need to be nest builders. That's the cycle of life. That's the way it goes. I was reading several years ago, I was reading through the Old Testament, and I discovered a phrase that was repeated over and over again. And it was talked about kings. They'd say that, you know, so-and-so was king, and he reigned for so many years, and then he died and went to be with his fathers, and his sons took his place. And I can't tell you how many times that phrase is repeated in the Old Testament. You live, you train up your children, you'll die and go to be with your fathers, and your children take your place. Who are you leaving behind? Are you leaving kids that are well-equipped for the world, or are you leaving behind kids who can't make it because you would never let them grow and never let them go? It comes a time when they need to go off their own. Moms who don't let their children go create a welfare state, a bankrupt welfare state in the hearts and minds and life of those children. Children need to learn to be adults. Will learn to be adults when they're treated like adults. Treat adults like adults. And let them be adults. And stop babying them. And this is one of the things that mothers do more than daddies. Daddies are pretty easy to kick them out the nest. Get a job, get out of here. You don't work any here. Your feet under my table, buddy. You better go. Right. Mother would say, oh, well, we don't want to hurt Junior. They need us. They're old enough, let them go. Push them out. The best thing that happens to kids is to learn to live on their own. To find out that they don't live in a 4,000 square foot house because they can't afford it. Amen. They got to go get a 300 foot apartment someplace to live with a buddy. Buddies live with buddies and girls live with girls, all right? And I don't mean it in an immoral way. You let them go. The best thing you do for your kids is to let them go. Let them learn. I love the Huxtables. The young boy, I can't remember his name, he wanted to live like mom and dad, you know, and he was really growing and wanted to be something. And his daddy said, okay, all right, you want to be a man? You know, these are the rules. From now on, you got to pay your own way. And he started adding up all the things the boy had to pay. He had to pay room rent, cleaning rent, water, electricity, all those things. And pretty soon the boy said, well, maybe I don't want to leave home. Start realizing the reality of having to go and pay for your own things. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it when I got off on my own. Made my own way. Started taking pride in myself as an individual because I had good training. I knew what to do. I knew how to take care of myself. And mom and dad were willing to let me go. Children learn to make good decisions even if they fail. Let children, young adults, make bad decisions because they'll learn the consequences of bad decisions. You know, that, you know, unless there's something physically wrong with them or they're mentally handicapped in some way, shape, fashion, or form, but they will usually figure out not to hit themselves on the thumb with a hammer after they do it several times. They'll learn what the good decisions are like without mom and dad running to their rescue every time they mess up. And moms, you're the biggest problem in this area. Most men will just say, you're on your own, buddy. And I know there are exceptions to every rule, but that's basically true. But a good mother who really loves her children will let her children grow and let them make mistakes and not run after them. Children learn to make good decisions when they learn about failure. You know, there's nothing wrong with failing. I forget exactly what it was, but who was it? Edison created the light bulb? And how many failures that he had had when he was trying to do that, and somebody had interviewed him, and they said, you know, weren't you discouraged, you know, before he finally invented the incandescent bulb? And he said, well, no, I had learned 3,578 ways that it wouldn't work. And finally found out what would work. Children that don't work shouldn't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. That's the way it is. Now, I was raised up in the old school, all right? And there's a lot to say about the old school. It's a lot better than the new school. But when old Morris started working, and you know when I went to work? Now, this is child abuse. This is child abuse. I admit it's child abuse. I was in fifth grade and I was working. I worked in a little corner grocery store. I'd go there on Saturday and help clean up the freezer. They had a big walk-in freezer. That was my job, to straighten it up and clean it up. And I got paid a whopping 50 cents to do that. Well, I'm telling you, that was a lot of money when you didn't have 50 cents. But you know what that unbelievably rotten people I lived with did? They took my 50 cents. What ungodly people they were. And when I got older and I got a job and I was still living at home and making some money, part of what I made went to mom and dad. Mom and dad didn't need my money. What I needed is what they were teaching me to take care of myself and the responsibility of life.
Right.
Learning about things. Paying your own way. Now, I would tell you this. I hate to, you know, I'm going to just kill everything I just said. But mom was always an easy touch. If I needed money, I could always get it from her if I didn't have enough. But I enjoyed making my own money and living off the money that I had. They always took care of me until it was time for me to leave the nest and go out on my own. There's a story that I saw several years ago. Some of you may have seen this. It's on one of those television magazine shows about the mama's boys in Italy. And the mama's boys in Italy, they don't like these newfangled women. You know, these new dynamic women who take care of themselves and have these careers and all that. These Italian boys over there in Italy didn't like that at all. So you know what happened? They stopped getting married. and they won't leave. And they're living with mama. And they interviewed a bunch of them. And mama's loved it. Oh, I'm so glad to have my boy at home. Well, yeah, I do his laundry. I clean his bed. I do everything for him. Yeah, he don't need to be leaving the home. I want him to stay here. What do you mean? And the boys just said, yeah, I like it, man. This is cool, man. Mama's taking care of everything. But you know what's happened in society? They have a decrease in the number of children in some of the small towns. They're closing up the school because there's no kids for the school. Mama's boys. Man. Mama's boys. Great moms teach children how to fly on their own. You want to be a great mom? Teach that kid how to take care of themselves and then let them go. Let them go. Worst thing in the world is to see 30 and 40 and 50-year-old men and women living with mama and daddy. Get out of the house. Let them go. Put them out. Say, well, that's cruel. It's not cruel. You're doing them an injustice by keeping them that way. You're keeping them retarded in life. They need to go and be on their own. Great moms let their children fail, and they watch and they cry on the sidelines. I've cried for my kids. I've seen them fail. And I know Pat is too. See them fail. But you let them fail because they learn not to do that again. Great moms stop nursing when they need to feed themselves. Let them go. Let them grow. Let them be on their own. Great moms stop providing when they need to be building their own nest. That's what great moms do. Now some of you in this room are just, I just lost you. Some of you moms say, well, I'm not doing that to my babies. Well, they'll be babies all their life. You keep treating them like babies. Well, I want to help them. Well, you can help. Best thing you can do, help them. So let them go. Let them be in their own. They'll grow. And if you've done your job, if you've trained them up as children, and you've invested in them, they know how to make good decisions. They know how to do what's right and what's wrong. They know because you've trained them to do that. You've done your job. You've done a good job. And let them go. I want to show you a video, a brief video, as we close this morning. I want to end where I started this morning. A godly home. Do you know God? Moms, do you know God? If not, you need to ask God into your life. Daddies, do you know God? If not, you need to let God into your life. You need to become what the scriptures call a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said if you will believe on the Lord Jesus, you would never perish, but you'd have everlasting life. Your task for raising children and grandchildren is virtually impossible without God. virtually impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You might say, well, I didn't raise my kids the way I should have. I didn't know any better. That's all right. God will redeem that for you. God will help you. You might say you've messed up, and maybe your marriage is a wreck or you're divorced and you got children from a previous marriage you don't have any impact on anymore. That's all right. God can take care of that. You turn yourself over to God and you pray. You earnestly pray. I'll tell you, the one thing you can do as a believer today, you can pray about all these things. And God will change circumstances and situations in people's hearts and people's lives. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your promise that you are with us in all things. And Lord Jesus, I know that you're here in this room by your Spirit speaking to us. And Father, I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice would make a commitment right now to follow you. We've already prayed earlier today about following you. I pray that the commitment would be reaffirmed right now at this moment in time. That they would hear that gentle knocking of the Holy Spirit. And that they would open the doors of their heart and let Christ in. Father, I believe you for that right now, that everyone who is listening will hear with the ears that the Spirit will open, and that they might pray and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I trust Jesus as my Savior today. And as best I'll know how, I'll serve Him today and all the days of my life. Father, I believe you to cause that to happen and to become truth in the lives that are of the people in this room today. And I thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Before I let you go, I'd like to get all the moms up here so I can pray for you. Yes, ma'am. Oh, the kids said, oh, a gift to the mummies. Oh, yes. Don, would you put out our glow basket for us? Because this is a Sunday we contribute to glow, okay?